Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
There's nothing better on a Saturday than hearing Awesome Dawson just kind of bring you back. So welcome to Beyond. Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm great.
I like that setup you got there.
Oh,
I
mean, thanks, Mark. So, yeah.
Look at me. I'm just got a white background. You've got, what is that, Mickey or Minnie?
It's a big Mickey. There's a Thomas the Train Engine. You know, I got to keep my office, you know, a place that my son will actually come into. I got to try to stay in the good graces because Mama's clearly the winner in that one.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. So the boy and their mother,
As well it should be.
Right.
All right. So we've got a few things we got to cover here. Where do you want to start?
Why don't we talk about eviction, the eviction ban? There's been some, I don't know, lack of a better term, confusion. What the U.S. Supreme Court did, shock, oh, shock, 6-3, part of my, you can pretty much gauge anything at the U.S. Supreme Court now by the multiples of 3.
Yeah.
The looks like what they did is say that the CDC could not extend the ban, that there was no legislative authority for that. Some have called for Congress to take action. And by the way, that's exactly what the U.S. Supreme Court basically ruled, which is that you have to have congressional legislation to do this. Now, that does not mean for those in individual states that you're immediately going to get evicted, because the states can have their own or enact their own eviction moratoriums, if you will. And even down to the county levels, although there's arguably some constitutional issues involved with that as well. So that has become, I think that there's, to some degree, at least I've been watching, some of the politicians, including congresswomen, have been talking about, you know, the evil Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, and that Congress needs to take action. And the irony of it is that's exactly what the U.S. Supreme Court said, is you can't have the Center for Disease Control making the decisions on the, legislation, which is properly a congressional issue and within the province of Congress.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the more recent terms, the last time the Supreme Court ruled on this and allowed the moratorium to go forward until, I believe it was June 31st, there was a ruling or a paper by Justice Kavanaugh where he said they will not go forward unless Congress acts. And then the CDC waited until August 7th or something and just tried to push this forward again. And this was them basically saying, no, we already
ruled. That's exactly right. Yeah. I think he had given Kavanaugh in his opinion had tipped the scales so that there was a end of the month. He gave basically a 30-day reprieve, and with the idea that, okay, the ball is in Congress's court. And so we don't want people to be thrown out and let's do something here, Congress, basically pinging it back to them. They did not act. And this is where we find ourselves. You know, there's the argument, is also, it has been brought by the a lot of the realtor groups, and you can understand it because they say a lot of these landlords aren't big corporations, that there's a plurality, at least, that are generally what they refer to, and I don't think in a pejorative way, but mom and pops who may own duplexes or may have four units or things like you, right?
That'd be me,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the banks, at least initially during the pandemic, were giving some relief, but that ended. And so you've still got to find a way, I assume, right, to pay your mortgage, even if the if it turns out that your tenant decides they're not going to they can't pay rent. But at a certain point, it points to the fundamental problem that we've been having, kind of stopgap solutions or patchwork solutions that do not have a coherent legal basis. I mean, in California, as you know, they're the only reason that the county of Los Angeles and an unelected bureaucrat like the county health officer can issue edicts is because the governor never repealed the emergency mandate. And that, and now you see the legislature talking about enacting a mandatory vaccine requirement in California, which is interesting to me because why, if the legislature is debating that, what authority do they have if they've already delegated over their emergency powers to the governor and haven't taken the emergency powers back? And then, as you know, we're up in the U.S. Supreme Court trying to get a ruling or have them accept the case and deal with the idea that you can't just shut down businesses, that there is a interest there, a First Amendment interest. And we'll see if they take it or if they decide to punt that. But it's the issues involved, you know, you can actually see both sides. I mean, there's, if you've lost your job, and you don't have the money to pay the rent, you don't want to kick people out. But at the same time, if you're somebody who's got a mortgage that you still have to service, and then what are you supposed to do? There's got to be some kind of a middle ground or some way to kind of thread that needle.
It's extremely murky because, 10 years ago, as someone who was living in these massive apartment complexes that were owned by these corporations, I would have had one opinion. And, you know, now I have a rental property that I'm trying to keep afloat. And it's not really a money-making endeavor for me, but I try to break even. And if somebody had decided they weren't going to pay, I'd have been in a very, very tough situation. I don't even, you know, luckily my tenants were very good through COVID and everything was great. So, all right. One other thing that I know we want to talk about, unless you have something else to say, you good?
Well, the only other one I would have talked about is our former guest's, what's been referred to as his endless cross-examination in the Robert Durst case. Have you been following this at all?
I've seen a little bit of it. It's I watched some of the video of the Robert Durst cross-examination, and it bummed me out. I was having a real hard time watching him. That man is not well.
Right?
Yeah.
It's something, man. The, I think the judge basically told Lewin, you're going to have to wrap this up. I think you've made your points at this point. And we'll see. You know,
it was a fun thing when the HBO show was airing and he sort of had his faculties about him. I mean, he was, you know, a little nutty, but he seemed capable enough, and he doesn't seem like that now at all.
No. And that's, you know, that's what prison will do to you. I mean, speaking of prison, there's also another story that has made the news today, and that the parole board has recommended parole for Sirhan Sirhan, who was the convicted assassin of Robert F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And the children of Robert F. Kennedy have split basically, I think, I want to say six who are adamantly against parole, and two who, including RFK Jr., who have spoken in favor of it or in support of it. And but it's not the end of the story. I mean, as we've discussed on prior cases, first, the full parole board will act and either adopt or not adopt. And then the governor will weigh in after that and have a chance to, depending on who the governor is, after that. So
that's what I was thinking about. You know, the governor gets a chance to weigh in, and this time period will allow for the possibility of, you know, 47 different chances, you know, and 47 different people's opinion on this. So that'll be interesting. You want to do one more little preview on a case you think we're going to follow going forward?
Yes, this is an interesting case for a number of reasons. Just sticking a pin in it, let's watch it because jury selection starts this week. It's Elizabeth Holmes, who is the was much celebrated founder and based, I forget all the other titles of a entity called Theranos.
Yep, CEO. She was called the Steve Jobs of health at one point. She was much lauded in the tech community.
Well, and seemingly, the things that she was going to be able to do seemed, you know, within the realm of possibility, at least conceptually, and obviously something that was much needed, a niche that could have been filled. Supposedly, you could, they were developing or had developed a way to kind of do certain kinds of diagnostic tests at a much cheaper and much simpler way that could have at least alerted people to kind of health conditions or not conditions.
Yeah, the idea was that you could take a drop or two of blood and put it into this little device that they had made that you could have at home, and you'd be able to send it off, much like, you know, Ancestry.com, and they would be able to cheaply do a test for a litany of diseases. And it turned out that that was definitely not possible.
Yeah, not only not possible, but the allegations are that the that there was fraud involved and wire fraud involved and things of that nature. She goes on trial. She originally was indicted, I believe, with another older gentleman who she had met when she was at Stanford.
Absolutely. And, right.
Right. So they had filed a motion to sever, and it was granted. And one of the reasons that this has kind of gained some momentum recently is the declarations in support of the motion to sever. Basically, whenever you have a motion to sever, you have to give some kind of reason and prejudice as to why you can't be tried with your co-defendant. And here, they had under seal some redacted, or what is now appear to be redacted because they were released, declarations about an abusive relationship that she was in with the co-defendant. Obviously, he did not want to have to be sitting in a joint trial with her while she's going to likely testify and testify about his abuse. So the judge did, I think, made a correct decision, severed the cases. She goes first. She has a jury trial. We're starting this week, selecting a jury. I imagine we may even hear opening statements this coming week, and we'll definitely follow that because I think that's it. That's she's got incredibly talented counsel, and she's got and the government has got very experienced prosecutors prosecuting this case, and it's going to be a whale of a trial.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There were several legal experts weighing in on the articles that I read, saying that the things that she is trying to do are very possible but highly ambitious, given the length of time and the nature of the crime involved, being white collar and all of this stuff. It's fascinating. So I would read about that. And if you don't want to read about it, just listen to this show because we're going to cover it all the way through.
You got it. We certainly will. And we'll probably get a verdict in the Durst case this week as well.
So yeah, we'll watch out for that. Hey, Mark, I had a drink at your hotel last night in San Clemente, and it was absolutely lovely. So let's give a plug to the Casa Tropicana in San Clemente.
I love it. And if your wife's over there, tell her to stop by downstairs and we'll take care of her.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it. And we'll see you guys on Tuesday for another Beyond a Reasonable Doubt.
Thank you, Gary. Talk to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.